As you are standing, if the sea was behind you, there's just a slow rise. It's not like the things we have that are called mountains. We'd think of this more as a hill, but there's a slow rise that just goes up and up and up and up and up from the shore of this place. And on that mountain, the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And he taught and he preached, I guess is the right word to say, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's called because of that place. And it's found in the chapters that we've been in, ending in the end of chapter 7. Now, the verses I'm asking you to look at today are the last few verses in chapter 7. It's the end of the message. It's a very detailed message that he's preached. We've been looking at it now for weeks and weeks and weeks in our Bible. And God gave us the meat of the matter in the Bible. But when you start to dig into it, there's so much there to see. But what I'm going to show you today is the very last thing that Jesus says in that message. Now, you understand the idea, save the best for last, right? And certainly a speaker is going to make sure that the most important thing is the thing you remember. I give you a hint. If you ever get to go to a job interview, you'd be happiest if you were the last one they interviewed, because they're going to remember you the best. This last few verses in Matthew chapter 7 are the thought that Jesus left with those people. Now, you know, the great thing about Jesus, he preached to everybody. He did not say, I don't want these people here because I don't like them. I just want to preach to a few people here. And he didn't just pick the best of people. He preached to everybody. Amen. It's better than that. He died for everybody. Amen. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I would remind you from Romans 7, if you know your Bible a little bit better, where the Bible says, all were dead and he died for all that are dead. He died for everybody. There's some people that don't believe that. I'm sorry, they don't believe the Bible. We believe the Bible, amen? So he died for you. So, well, what difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world. Because when he died for you, if you would receive him, he'll save you. Amen? And if you haven't done that yet, he's waiting. And you say, well, how do you know he hadn't given up on me, Pastor? Because you're still alive. Amen? Sometimes I've seen people get saved. I was talking to somebody this week about people getting saved in nursing homes when they're way up in the years. But wouldn't it be better to get saved as soon as you could, not take that chance? So look with me in Matthew chapter 7 at one particular verse I want you to start with here. And if anything ought to send chills down your spine, this ought to. In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 7, he says, then will I profess unto them. We're going to find out who he's talking about here in just a minute. Then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We're going to have a word of prayer and we'll look at what that means. Father, thank you this morning that we can not just hear about you, but that we can know you. Thank you this morning that we don't just have to read the Bible to see how you've delivered other people, but that we can experience that deliverance firsthand. I thank you for the people that are here today. I thank you for these young people that are here. I pray you'd help them to understand. Help me to speak in a way that they can understand. God, I pray, please bless this time we spend in the Bible. It's not about us. It's about you. It's about your word. It's about your love for these folks in this room. And we pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us now, and through the Word of God, use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to be in that category called them. He says, unto them, he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He says, I never knew you. Did you listen to that song the ladies just sang? I'd rather have Jesus. He's sweeter than lilies of rarest bloom. I cannot say I know the details of who wrote that song, but when I listen to the words in that song, I know something. That was somebody that knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, There are some famous people. I like to read biography. I've read a lot of books about a lot of people. I've read about Benjamin Franklin, or I've read about Thomas Jefferson. I've read about, who's another good one? One of my favorites was John Adams, one of our first few presidents. And I know a lot about those men. But if you came to me today and you said, "Pastor Schaefer, do you know John Adams?" Never met him. "Does John Adams know you?" Nope, he never met me. I think he was saved, by the way. I think we'll see him in heaven. We can know a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ and not know him. Right? That's a horrible thought, but it's possible. Now, look at what you see in Matthew chapter 7. You've already seen that verse that says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You would think, if you just read that verse, he's probably talking about the really bad people. He's probably talking to the people that are murderers, or the people that are robbers, or the people that are mean and abuse children. You'd think, that's the kind of people that work iniquity. It's going to surprise you who he's talking to. It surprises me who he's talking to. But again, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the very end of the message, standing before the people. Now listen to the wording here. He says, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you." He's telling people what's going to happen, firsthand knowledge. He knows. He's the one that's going to say those words. Who's he going to say them to? Well, let's look back a couple of verses and find out who these people are. Look at verse 21. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, we know what heaven is. The Bible says heaven is where God lives, right? Okay, and the reason it uses the word kingdom is because God is in charge. And the Bible says in the Lord's Prayer that in heaven his will is done. So we know what heaven is. He says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord." Now, I've met some people, and the only time they use God's name is to use it in vain. Right. Oh my, and they'll use God's name. But don't say that. Young people, I hear it on the bus every now and then. You've heard it too many times maybe from somebody older, but the Bible says we're not to take the Lord's name in vain. Right. But you know, now this is going to shock you a little bit. There are people that pray that are going to die and go to hell. They said, "Lord, Lord." They didn't just say it once. When you speak somebody's name more than once, your thought is to get their attention or to make sure that it's very clearly understood. You know, if my wife, she's used to rescuing me in the house, and let's say I'm in the garage and I need something, and "Deborah, Deborah." She'd probably come running. "What's he done now? Oh, no. Get the Band-Aids out. Call the ambulance." If I just said, "Deborah," that's one thing. But to cry out, "Lord, Lord," that's, you would agree with me, that's somebody that's calling on God, isn't it? Amen. That's not enough. He says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, let's keep reading a little bit. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, don't let that scare you. We're going to understand that better in just a minute. But just remember, there's a contrast going on here. There are the them, people, them, that he says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And there's another group of people, and let's put a label on them. We're going to call those folks he that doeth, or he, the he's, okay? It includes ladies, but there's the them's and the he's, all right? He says, "He that doeth the will of my Father." He's the one that's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think every one of us would agree here. If you don't, please let me know. I want to go to heaven. Amen? Amen? I don't want to go to hell. Someone says, "Pastor, there is no hell." Well, I hope you're right. Because if you're not right, I know this. The same Bible that says there is a hell says there's no escape from it. Amen. You know, you can walk off into the jungle and hope there's no animals to eat you. Or you can walk out into the freeway and hope there's no cars to hit you. You better be right. Folks, the Bible says Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. The Bible says hell is a fire. It's not a fire that consumes you and you're gone. The Bible says that the torment continues. In Luke 16, there's a man that went there and he was in torments in the flame, carrying on a conversation with Abraham while he was suffering in hell. Hell's real. Amen. Now, I just want to say one more thing and I'll move past that, and that is, I'm not trying to scare you, but I hope you're scared. I'd rather see you come to Christ because of who He is than what you're trying to get out of. Because that's the point. Not what am I avoiding, but knowing Him. So let's go on here. He says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. He says in verse 22, look at this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now listen to what they say. This is interesting. Have we not prophesied in thy name? What does that mean, Pastor? Okay, let me explain something to you if you don't know it. This book is called Prophecy. Amen. In the Old Testament, there were some men, some Old Testament prophets. Somebody name one. Who's an Old Testament prophet?
Jeremiah.
Give me another one. Isaiah. Okay. Daniel's one of my favorite. And these Old Testament prophets, when they said something, it happened. Always, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, if anybody says they're a prophet and they're even wrong one time, they're not a prophet. They're a false prophet. The prophet was always right. This book's always right. The prophet told people things that God said to him. I tell you things this book says to me. In a sense, I am prophesying. You say, well, Pastor, you can't tell the future. Ah, I can. I can't tell you what the temp's going to be tomorrow, probably 100 and something, but I don't know. But I can tell you what's going to happen when we die. I can tell you what's going to happen in eternity, at least as much as this book tells me. Oh, by the way, you can too, because you can read just like I can. I can tell you God's going to restore Israel. I can tell you Jesus is coming back. Someone says, prove it. Right here. Okay. Oh, now, Not everyone that does that is going to enter into heaven. Wait, Pastor, you mean there's somebody that prophesied? They're not going to enter heaven? That's what the Bible says. Huh. Starting to get scary here. Look at verse 22 again. They said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. I will tell you, and I'm not looking for one, to the best of my knowledge, I have never met a demon-possessed person. I probably have. I just probably didn't know it. I know pastors who have. The man that I was in his church in Dallas, Texas, named Gary Coleman, he used to go on visitation. Every Monday night, he'd take me with him, and he told me some stories about demon-possessed people. I do not want to meet a demon-possessed person. He told me stories that I'm not even going to tell you. They're so bad. I don't want to meet a demon-possessed person. But Jesus cast demons out of people, didn't he? Amen? In fact, what the demons did, when Jesus came, the demons were scared. And they said, have you come to punish us or to torment us before the time? They know they're on their way to hell. He said, have you come to send us there before the time? Jesus can take care of a demon. I can't imagine a person that could do that, but there are people here that said in verse 22, we've cast out devils in thy name. And then look at the rest of the verse. It says, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. What's a good work? You've been kind to somebody. You've given somebody something. You've met their need. You've comforted them when they were suffering. Whatever you did that was good, I'm glad you did. There are people that do good things. I used to work in a place in Salt Lake City. There's a pastor up there, but the church couldn't pay me a lot, and I had a side job. And there's this lady, and she said, our organization has given $1 million to charity this year. But the organization that she was talking about didn't believe the Bible. And she was very sure that because they had done these good things that they were going to gain favor with God. Look at me. It's real simple. You cast out a demon, that doesn't count. You prophesy, that doesn't count. You've done wonderful works in God's name. There's nothing wrong with any of that, is there? But he says, these people have done that. Now watch, this is where it all comes together. We're almost done. He says, and then in verse 23, he says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Somebody asked me, do you know Brother Rosendo Mendez? Oh, I know him real well. I can tell you, if you were to ask me, what's Brother Mendez likely, which restaurants he likely to go to, I can pick a couple. Because I've been around him, I know what he likes. He's taken me there with him. If you said, Pastor, what do you think he'll order when he gets there? I can tell you. He's going to go to Comodoro, Guadalajara, and he's going to get green chili beef. Amen? He hasn't taken me to the best place. He didn't trust me that much yet, but that one's pretty close. If you were to ask me, do you know Brother Mark Hall? Do you know Mike Jansen? Do you know Alan Krosno? Do you know Penny Jacobs? Do you know Brian Jensen? Yeah. Yeah, I know them pretty well. I've spent time around them. I know what they like and what they don't like. I know what problems they have in their life, and I know what God's done in their life because I know them. Now, I've heard about a lot of people, but these are people I know. Now, here's the question. Pastor Schaefer, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You didn't? The question is not, have you heard about him? Oh, I've heard about him. The world's heard about him, a lot of them anyway. The question is, do you know him? What would you say if somebody asked you that question? Do you know him or do you just know about him? I have met him in this book. He has spoken to me through this book. How does he do that, Pastor? It's not by email. It's not by telephone. It is not by any other conventional means of communication. I do not hear audible voices. I have had times when God made things so clear to me, it seemed like it was almost audible. But this book is where I hear from him. And I can tell you what he likes and what he doesn't like. And I can tell you what he's going to do, what his plans are. I can tell you the people that he has saved and why and how he saved them. And it's not just that. It's got to be better than that. Did you listen to those ladies sing? That song expresses the fact that somebody has, and I don't like this word, but I can't think of a better one, experienced him. Now, let me tell you how to experience him. If you realized, when I was in high school, I used to work for an ambulance service. I was in college, my freshman year of college, I worked for an ambulance service. And there would be people that would call us, and they needed to be rescued. And we would go, and we would rescue them. And after that was done, they would say, oh, thank you so much, And their gratitude, and it was an experience that they had with us. I was in the National Guard, and we went house to house during a hurricane, delivering people from the flood. And they knew after that what the National Guard could do. If you have realized, I'm on my way to hell because of my sins, and don't stop right there, please, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we've all sinned, the Bible says. If you've realized you're on your way to hell because of your sins, and if Jesus has saved you, that's a personal salvation. That's something that's real. If you've been in a situation to where the devil was after you with all he's got, and the devil's agent was after you with all he's got, and then God delivered you, that's real. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. It's not a fuzzy, warm, oh, I feel so good. He makes me feel good, but it's real. It starts in this book, and it continues with me believing what he said, and then he does what he said, and now it's real to me. So I ask the question, does he know you, is the next question. The first question is, do you know him? Does he know you? Pastor, how could he know me? Well, he knows about all of us, and he knows we're sinners. So here's the verse in the Bible. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. So what does it mean for him to know you? You know how you meet somebody? You introduce yourself. On a couple of occasions, I've been talking to folks that wanted to ask Jesus to save them. And I've heard people pray like this. It's beautiful. They'd say this, Jesus, I'm so-and-so. And I know you died to pay for my sins. You know, the first time you meet somebody, you say, hi, I'm so-and-so. And then they in turn introduce themselves, and now you know each other, right? Does Jesus know you? Amen? Now, I'm not going to go past that in this passage. There's a whole lot more here. But let me just mention a couple of things. One in particular, verse 24. You know, one of the things about God, he doesn't want us living in doubt. 1 John 5:13 says, you can know you have eternal life. Amen. Wouldn't you hate to have somebody knock on your door this afternoon and say, you know what, you thought that this was your house to live in, but it really doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to the person that rented it to you, get out. And you'd say, well, I thought I had a place to live. That's not the way God deals with us. God doesn't want us to be confused the way these folks were in verse 21 and verse 22. You see, they thought they had it taken care of. They thought they had it settled. Don't misunderstand. There are people that have prophesied in Jesus' name. They have done wonderful works. I can't even imagine that, but they've cast out demons, and he says, I never knew you. So how can you say, well, Pastor, how can I know that I know Jesus? And I can explain that. I've got just enough time. Look at verse 24. He says, therefore, whosoever, now that word means anybody, Pastor, I've done bad things. There's no way Jesus can save me. Nope. He says, whosoever. Pastor, I just don't deserve salvation. Neither do I. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He says, I will liken him. And he goes on and he tells a story that I haven't got time to read to you. But it talks about a storm and a man who built a house on rock and a man who built a house on sand. And a storm came, and one house stood, another house was washed away. Now, there's a whole lot more here than I have time to give you, but let me tell you one thing, and I got to put my glasses on to find the verse in my notes. First John chapter 3, don't turn there, just listen. In verse 23 says this, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Now you say, what does that mean, Pastor? I was talking to somebody last week and they said, I'm not getting on an airplane. I'm not getting on an airplane. I'm not flying anywhere. Well, have you seen an airplane fly? Yep, seen lots of airplanes fly. You seen people that get on airplanes and fly on them? Oh yeah, seen lots of people get on airplanes and fly on them. Do you think airplanes can fly? Yeah, I think airplanes can fly. Well, get on the plane. Nope, not doing it. Not going to do it. You know what that is? It's knowledge. But there's really not a belief there, is there? There's a doubt. They think, if I get on the plane, it's going to crash. You can know that Jesus died on the cross. And you can hear about people that have trusted him as their Savior. But are you going to trust him? It's not that you have done great things in your life. The question is, do you trust Him to save you from your sins? You say, Pastor, and I've been there. Listen, you say, Pastor, I'm not a good person. I've done bad things. You say, Pastor, I have tried to quit and I can't. You say, Pastor, if you knew what I've done, you wouldn't even want to talk to me. Well, if you knew what I had done. But you see, that's not the question. The question is, do you believe the Bible? The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? You're going to get to heaven if you're saved, and you're going to see some people there that you read about in the paper because they were mass murderers. You say, how could God save a mass murderer? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. You're going to get to heaven if you're saved, and you're going to be looking for some people that were on TV preaching every day, and I'm going to be there. Because it's not a question of what you have done. It's a question of what you have believed. Now, don't miss my last point. If you believe in Him, He'll change your life. Amen? Amen? If you believe in Him, He'll make you different. If you were to ask some of the people that knew me when I was young, they'd say, that guy's a preacher? Well, not that guy, the guy God made me. Amen? Amen? If some of your friends from way back, or maybe not so way back, I don't know, said they go to church, yeah, God changed them. Amen? Amen? You got two choices. You can stay like you are, or you can let God work in your life. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says His Spirit will live in you and make you different. And the key factor, the thing you're going to see first of all, is it's going to change the way you see other people. You're going to love people you used to not love. I went and visited a man one time in Salt Lake City about, it's been over 20 years ago, in his apartment on a Thursday night, and went into his apartment, and he said, I just got out of prison. And we got to talking to him, and we said, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Oh, yeah, he told us exactly. He said, I know Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. I prayed and asked Him to save me from my sins, and I know He did. And somewhere along the way, the question became, how do you know you're saved? He said, you know, when I was in prison, I used to hate everybody. I used to hate everybody. And he said, I went to a church service in prison one time just to have something to do. And listened to the message, and when the invitation came, he said, I went and talked to somebody, and they showed me out of the Bible how God could change me and how He'd come into my life and be my Savior. Listen, how I could know Him and He could know me. And he said, after I did that, and this is his words, I can still hear him saying them almost, he said, I don't hate anybody anymore. He said, I love people now. He's different. Now, don't misunderstand, God's not going to just flip a coin or a page or a switch, and suddenly make you perfect. But He's going to change you. Amen? I think about people that are trusting in what they have done. I've prophesied. I've cast out devils. I've done many wonderful works. I deserve heaven. And the horrible, horrible answer. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You don't want to be one of those people. If you're saved, you won't be one of those people. Let's all stand and pray.